Love the Lord your God with all your mind. So here's the game plan. We're going to look at the mind, see how it differs from the heart and the soul, and some general ideas about it, just to remind us like what it does, because it's pretty cool. Then we're going to look at the choices we have, because we have some choices. And then we're going to look at today's text and use that as an illustration for when thoughts are not well thought out and kind of go astray and what God does with that. And then we're going to look at a way to love the Lord your God with all your minds, the impact, and how to just live life fearlessly. Just fearlessly. Pray with me. We pray for good news in all of this, you know. And we ask it to only come from you. So help us. Help us. Speak to, let us hear. We ask it in the holy name of Christ our Lord. Amen. How does the mind differ from the heart and the soul? If you remember, when we talked about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, we said, well, you know, you have to kind of search the heart and search the soul, and then you pray and you ask the Holy Spirit to bring into your heart or bring into your soul whatever needs to be changed or added or whatever. But when it comes to your mind, oh, that's the first one that is just immediate. It's tangible. It's immediate. You can access it. You can say, you can listen to me run on and on and on until we get out of here about, well, we're getting out early today, but don't worry about that. You can listen to me, and you might hear God say something to you very specifically. And today, that moment, the moment you hear it, you can say, I think I'm going to do something different. Really? Yes, because it's in your head. It's your mind. You have immediate access. You have immediate control. It's available to you. You don't take this the wrong way. I can already see the emails. You don't have to pray and pray and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to change your mind. You can change it. You can change it. You can. You can. Because it's right here. You stick your finger in your ear far enough, you can touch it. And when you pull it back out, you can touch it. It's right that close. Now, you really can't do that. But it's that close. It runs 24/7. It never stops. It just never stops. The reason you were here this morning is because when you woke up this morning, you did not have to think, oh, heart, start beating. Lungs, start breathing. No, because your heart beat all night long, and your lungs worked all night long. You snored like crazy. You annoyed your spouse with your snoring and all. See? Because your brain never stops. Now, think about this. It's got a whole bunch of different sections, and each section does its own little thing, and they all work in relationship to each other. So think about it. Just think. Some of you are old enough to think about it like this. You're asleep. And all of a sudden, your brain says, uh-oh, you better get up. And you think, why am I awake? Why, what? Oh. And then your brain thinks, you need to go ahead and go. And so your brain begins to move you out of the bed and into a certain little place and then back into the bed. Now, you didn't have to wake up in the middle of the night and think, oh, gosh, do I need to get up for any reasons? Oh, I'm okay. Good. Go back to... See, your mind just does that for you. Just runs and runs and runs and runs. That's why you dream. It's just always running. You can never shut it off. You don't want to shut it off. Don't try. Just let it run. It's an incredible thing that we have within us. But that's not what we're to love God with, that gray matter between our ears. He's not saying love me with that thing that's in your head. He's saying love me with the way you use it, how it functions, how you reason, how you understand, your imagination. Use it in what you think about. And how you think about what you think about. Make sense? So we're not talking about the gray matter, giving the gray matter to God. We're talking about the functioning of the gray matter. How's it run? What's it focused on? How do I treat it when it gets off focus and goes someplace it shouldn't go? Can I bring it? All that kind of stuff. Because how you use it will be the result of and the reflection of the choice you've made. How I use my thinking process is either going to love, honor, and worship God, or love, honor, and worship who? Me! Oh, me! I'm either going to love God, or it's all about me. And don't look at me like that, because you do the same thing. Y'all look shocked. You do the same thing. You're either going to love God or love yourself. That's just the only way it works. And so we have a choice. See, we're not locked into this. And it's so accessible. It's just like right here. You just have to think, and it will what? Change. Just that quick. So what are the choices? Well, I want to show you three scriptural choices. 2 Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, fear, anxiety, whatever you want to call it, but a spirit of power, love, and self-control. Self-control. So, I'm having those thoughts, and they're going a little bit in the wrong direction. And according to that, I have the spirit within me to control myself through my thoughts. I can control that thought. I can pull that thought back and say, "Ooh, can't go there, come back in here. What's wrong with you?" I have the spirit of self-control. I can watch over those. I can control those thoughts. It's up to me. And when they get a little goofy, I can do it immediately. Immediately, I can call it back. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Paul says, we destroy arguments and any obstacles, remove obstacles to the knowledge of God. We take every thought captive. What does that really mean? He's saying, you know what we do? When we have a thought, we imprison it. We surround it. We hold on to it. We watch it. We watch over it. We just don't let it go willy-nilly out there anywhere it wants to go. We don't do that with our thoughts, Paul says. We hold them captive. They're ours, and we hold them. We watch over them. Just like you would if you had someone in prison to you. You're going to watch them 24/7. You're going to watch out where they go, what they're doing, what they're up to. He says that's what we do with our thoughts. We hold them to be obedient to Jesus. Because if we don't hold them, man, they can go anywhere. They just fly. And then get us in so much trouble. So Paul says, we hold them. We watch them. We see what they do. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Why? Because the patterns of this world are all most not going in a godly way. So he said, don't conform. Don't surrender your mind to the world you live in. Transform it. You can transform your mind. Just transform it, he said. Transform it by renewing it. How do I renew it? By loving God with it, honoring God with it, holding my thoughts captive, using my self-control. Renew it. When I begin to think of something I shouldn't be thinking about, renew that thought. Get it out of here. That's not mine. It didn't come from the Holy Spirit. So get it out of here. And let my mind begin to be renewed by the thoughts I should be holding captive in my little brain. So you have choices. And you can respond to the choices immediately. Immediately. But sometimes we don't do too good with that. As in today's reading. 21. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples, and you can read the rest. Began to show them means he began to teach them. Began to teach them. When he began to teach them, he literally forced them to think. He forced them to think. You're in here this morning, and it's hot. Anybody else in here hot besides me? You all hot? I'll tell you what, it's just crazy. I'm burning up. So you're listening to me, and I'm forcing you to think. Because here's the deal. You're either going to be intensely in tune with what's going on, I'm saying to you, because you're hearing me, and you're thinking about it, or you're making a conscious decision. You're thinking, I don't like what he's talking about. I don't understand what he's talking about. I really don't even care what he's talking about. I just came to hear the choir. And I'm worried about where I'm going to go lunch today. Where you want to go lunch today? I don't care. Or I'm worried about what I got to get at Walmart. So I'm asking you now, do you got something right? I can start making my list for Walmart. See, here's the deal. He was teaching them. He was talking to them. He was presenting to them. And he was forcing them to use their heads. They were going to embrace him or they were going to reject him. But he was forcing them to think. You're being put in a position this morning to be forced to think. Even dismissing me, you're thinking. You're thinking. It's running. You're thinking. His thinking didn't go too well. It says that Peter took him aside, rebuked him, began to rebuke him, and said, "Oh, God forbid, Lord, this must not happen to you." He didn't think this through too clearly, and so his rebuking is a reaction. It's not a response. It's a reaction. It's a reaction. He thought, because of what Jesus was saying to him, he's thinking, and then he reacted. He said, "Well, why? Why so crazy? What's wrong with him?" Lots of really smart theologians think that the disciples in the early stages of their walk saw him, Jesus, as a new rabbi, showed up on the scene, really cool guy, called them. They didn't call him. He called them. They left their families. They left their jobs to go with him, and he encouraged that. And so they thought, wow, you know what? This guy's pretty sharp, and he's gonna have a high position of authority someday. And guess who's going to be right there with him? Us. Now listen to me. That was their thinking. That's what they were thinking. But they were wrong. But they don't know that yet. And so Peter's thinking. And then Jesus says, "Oh, yeah, and they're going to arrest me and beat me and whip me, and then they're going to crucify me, and I'm going to die." And Peter's like, "No, are you kidding me? No, if you do that, you'll ruin us. You'll ruin us. We got plans, baby. We got plans, big plans. You'll ruin all of it. You can't do that." Oh, that's not good. That's not good. He's thinking, but he's not thinking too sharp. So what's the result? What's the reaction of God in Jesus, yes, to poor thinking? Reaction of God to inappropriate thinking. Get behind me, Satan. Inappropriate thinking, or the lack thereof, can put us on the side of sin. He didn't say, "Get behind me, Peter." He said, "Hey, Satan, get behind me." Because that thinking process is separating you and me, and it's putting you on the side of sin. So get behind me. Just get behind me. You're a stumbling block to me. You're impeding the movement of God in your life when you think like that. So stop it. Stop it. Now think hard. Don't raise your hands. I'll raise mine. You don't have to raise yours. Have you ever thought something that impeded the movement of God in your life? Heck yeah. You kidding me? Sure. All the time. Yeah. Has the church ever thought something that impeded the movement of God within the church to move the church forward? Yes. Yes. Holy Spirit lays a great idea on somebody, and they come by, they're all pumped up, they're all excited, and they bring it to this meeting, and these folks hear this, "Oh, that's the worst thing we ever heard. Oh, rah, rah, rah. Cost too much. Don't rah, 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 rah." Ever been in any of those meetings? Don't raise your hands. Not in this church. It impedes the movement of God. And where, if you impede the movement of God, where are you going? Back. You're not standing still. You're going back. You, me, church, world, moving back. Either moving forward or back. You're setting your mind. You've made a choice. And you've locked into the choice. You've set your mind. You've said, this is my choice. Boom. At the TV show, is that your final answer? Yes, it is. You've set your mind. Set your mind not on divine things, but on human things. You can't do that. I mean, that's what Jesus is trying to do. You can't do that. Because you're either going to choose me or you're going to choose yourself. And that's not good. So they say, okay, we got all that. So if we really want to make good decisions and honor God, love God, how? How do we make divine choices? Well, it's clear that thinking's not enough. Because Peter thought. Peter was thinking. Wasn't thinking good, but he was thinking. And where'd he get him? Yelled at, corrected, rebuked. So we need more than that. We need to go bigger than that. We need to go deeper than that. We need to run thinking through a filter. Remember the WWJD stuff 100 years ago? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do as a result of his thinking process? And the whole glitch that was that, well, then we should do what he would do. Yes, we should think like he should think. Yes, that's the filter. And so I want to show you a filter. Now we're not talking about the flat pack 20-inch, 20-inch by 5-inch. We're talking about the mind of God. And so we're going to let the mind of God be the filter for us. And you go back to Paul, and he says, listen, we take every thought and we hold it captive. We surround it, we hold on to it, we look at it, we analyze it, we play around with it. We run it through a filter to see if it will be obedient to Jesus. We run it through a filter. We take our human thoughts and run them through a filter. And we'll take them all and run them all through the filter. And on the other side, they come out. And you know what they are now? We hope they're going to be divine thoughts leading to divine actions. Human side goes in, divine stuff comes out. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. Take the thoughts of the mind, run them through the filter, and they come out on the other side, clear, pristine, holy, righteous thoughts and actions. Peter took him aside. That does not mean that Peter walked up to Jesus and said, excuse me, can I talk to you for a second? Excuse me. I'm sorry. No. It says he took him. To take means to reach out and grab something. He took him. And he took him aside. He took him and pulled him aside, and then he rebuked him. Rebuking is get in your face. Stop it. Come here. I got to talk to you. What are you saying? That's rebuking. See, he didn't think that through very well, did he? He should have given that more thought. So we're going to run that through the filter, okay? That's his initial thought. He's got big plans for him and the boys and Jesus said, I'm going to die. His initial thought is, you can't do it, you can't do it. So he grabs Jesus, starts yelling at Jesus. If he had run it through the filter, would have come out the other side, maybe something like this. Oh, excuse me. Can we talk for a second? Sure. You know, this morning when we were all together, yeah, well, you said something that was a little troubling. And I got to tell you, I'm not the only one. The boys and I, man, we're confused. We thought you called us to some glorious deal. And I got to tell you that when you start talking about this dying stuff, we didn't know what to do with that. We don't understand that. What's that about? I mean, come on. Seriously. People don't die because they want to. They're forced to. I mean, we don't understand. Can you help us? Now, which one do you think is going to get a better response? Grabbing someone, getting in their face, or just sitting down and saying, hey, listen, I'm confused. He ran it through the filter. And that's what it would have looked like. What a difference. If he'd have just stopped, zip, thought about it. okay, let's try it this way. See what I get. So what in my life do I need to filter? Thoughts, words, actions, what? And if I run them through the filter, they're all going to come out. But what are they going to come out as? What will I be on the other side of that filter? What will Kip Younger be? Maybe be a little smarter, a little kinder, more compassionate, filled with mercy and grace and wholeness, maybe healed, restored. Anything could happen. Anything could happen when I run my thoughts through the mind of Christ and I'm patient and I wait to see what comes out on the other side. I could be a totally different person. I could be a totally different person because now my thoughts have been renewed and my mind is being renewed through the filter of Christ. And my responses are probably going to be different. My words are going to be different. My looks are going to be different. My attitude might be different. There's no telling. There's just no telling. So let's take the filter and let's just shake the filter up a little bit and then we'll see what falls out of it. What kind of junk did the filter catch? From me, not from y'all, because y'all don't have these issues. What kind of stuff did the filter catch from me? Might have gotten some of my pride. Might have gotten some of my pride, because sometimes I can be a little prideful. Imagine that. And the filter may have caught some of that pride, see? It got trapped. Because I was thinking prideful thoughts, and I said, okay, yeah, let's run this through the filter because I know how it's going to turn out on the other side. It's going to be perfect. And I get over here on the other side, it comes out changed. Like, oh, no, are you kidding me? The pride part's gone. Oh. What about control? You know, there are some folks who, if you don't do it their way, you are doing it wrong. And they're going to tell you how to do it. And sometimes when people want to control people, you know what they get? They get a little pushy. They become a little bit of a bully against other people because they're trying to control the situation. They want it to go exactly the way they think it should go. And if it doesn't go that way, it's going to be all wrong. It's going to be wrong. So you can't let go of the control because you don't want to be wrong. Some of that control might get stuck in the filter. Well, what about selfishness? They're asking for money again. Jeez, I can't believe it. Well, 1 week it's the bags. Next week it's the money. Can't believe it. Give and give and give. I want you to give your time. I want you to give this, give that. I just can't give that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I just can't do that. Maybe if you ran that thought through the filter, on the other side it would come out and say, oh, wait a minute. You should really go back and check your checkbook register and see what it says. And maybe you would find something to do with this. You should check your calendar and examine it closely. Because maybe you do have time. Maybe you do have the resources. Maybe when it goes through the filter. But if it doesn't go through the filter, you know who it's about? It's all about me. It's all about me. Maybe it's going to deal with some pain. Maybe there's pain in our lives that God just so desperately wants to take away. But our actions, our attitudes, and our words just defy Him to do it. And we need to let Him take the pain away. Could be a sense of arrogance. Imagine that. Could be in there too. Could be snobbery. People just kind of go around with their nose up all the time. And they have to look down at people. I think when you just take the whole mess and you put it all together, you know what this is my personal feelings. Again, it has all to do with fear. It has all to do with fear. Here's the deal. Why do you think people are snobs, control freaks, arrogant, selfish, and prideful? Because they're afraid. If you look at these are defense mechanisms. These are how we defend ourselves. I'm afraid that if you really knew me, if you really saw me, that you wouldn't trust me, you wouldn't like me, you wouldn't love me, you wouldn't say the sermons are good, whatever it is. If you really knew the truth, you wouldn't like me. So therefore, I've got to put on a charade. I've got to be snobbish. I've got to be prideful. I've got to be arrogant. I've got to be exuberantly kind and wonderful when maybe in my heart I'm not really like that. And so I've got to do this because I'm afraid you'll find out. And I don't want you to find out. And so I go through all the junk so you won't find out. Because I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And the flip side of that, I'm in the image of God. This is the way God made me. This is all he gave me up here. And, you know, he didn't give me a lot, didn't give me a little. It's all I got. It's what he gave me. It's all I got to work with. And that's all I got to give to the people. And that's all there is to it. That's all I got. So as long as I want to love God, I'm okay. People have an issue? Come talk. We might work something out, and we may not. Because this is what I am. But when I'm afraid, I'll go to almost any task to defend myself. Keep it a secret. And that's no way to live. That's no way to live. This is 1 John 4, whatever. 16:18. Snippets. God is love. We say, oh, amen. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God is love. There's no fear in love. Because perfect love of God cast out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Huh. Seriously? Yes. Huh. So, if there's no fear in love, and God loves me, then when I keep all the stuff that's in my filter as my defense mechanism, I'm really afraid I'm going to be punished by rejection, insult, criticism, all that junk. So I'm really kind of afraid of the punishment. But the author of 1 John says, but you got it wrong. No, that's not true. God is love, and perfect love casts out all fear because fear is associated with punishment. Don't you see it? In the perfect love, he's not going to reach down and smack you and punish you. He just loves you. He just wants you to do the best you can, man. This is what he made you. Go do something with it. Go do something with it. Let him love you. Because we love. Because he first loved us. What if we really lived like that? You know those, I'll bet you anything, the heaters are still running. What if we really lived like that? That we said, you know what? And you can take this too far, too. You can say, you can use that as a cop-out. Oh, that's all I am. You use it as a cop-out to be less than you should be. But don't go there, because that's just making it worse. You say, okay, well, that's the way I'm going to be. I'm going to take my thoughts, hold them captive, run them through the filter, and whatever comes out, and I'm going to try my best to honor that, live that way and honor that. Okay, good. Good. When are you going to start? Today. Now. Now. Right now. How can you do that? Because it's my brain, I have control over it, and I'm going to start right now. Good. Good. Okay. Perfect. How different would our lives be? How different would our lives be? You're just free. Fearless. You don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to play charades and games anymore. You don't have to talk about things that we think make us look better than other people anymore. In fact, we might even take some of those things and share them with people. What a concept. Because now we're loving God with all of our minds. And he's opened them up. It's like, wow, what a deal. What a deal. And you know, if that pertains to any of us, start now with just a thought, with just one little thought. We start now. We love you so much. We don't always understand the world we live in, that's for sure. And that means we really don't understand you all the time very much either. But we know you love us. And you know, you watch us and listen to us, and you know what we do. Help us watch and listen, you. Help us let you be that filter in our lives. That we would just zip it until we thought it, and then we let it out as a response, not as a reaction. And we just watch our lives change to be fearless and free, loving you and loving anyone you bring to us. What a difference that would make, just in our individual lives and in our community, in our church, in the world. Oh my goodness, it just goes on and on and on. So let it begin here. Let it begin here. 1 week away from Christmas. Time of preparation. Time of reflection. Let it begin here. We ask it in the powerful name of Christ. Amen.